Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Let me begin with the reminder that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way to save or change America. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, both personally and corporately. Now, that doesn't mean sprinkling gospel literature on America is the fix. Romans 1:20 implies a population that accepts the truth of the gospel, the truth of man's sin and God's salvation by faith and repentance. So let's not forget the basics. Maybe I should do a whole program about how practically the gospel is the answer. But for today's program, I want to discuss one particular biblical teaching, a sub-issue of the gospel. Still, I don't want you to think that I've lost sight of the bigger picture. I don't want you to lose sight of the bigger picture. Even in discussing these side issues, the purpose is still the gospel of Jesus Christ, to show that God is true and every man is a liar and needs salvation. And what I'd like to discuss today touches on the content of the gospel or how we're to minister the gospel. Let me springboard off of a statement made by Josh Harris in a recent interview. He claimed, quote, "Evangelical support for Donald Trump is incredibly damaging to the gospel." Josh Harris is that evangelical pastor, writer, who recently announced he is divorcing his wife, abandoning the Christian faith, and he apologized for being anti-LGBTQ in the past. So his statement sounds like sour grapes. He doesn't believe in conservative values. So, of course, he thinks the church's support for conservative government will hurt the church. And this is the opinion of liberal Christianity in mainline denominations. Liberal clergy believe that wrapping the Bible in the American flag and the Republican Party is damaging to the gospel because they don't believe in the American flag or the pro-life, pro-traditional marriage Republican platform. So when they criticize political involvement in conservative evangelicalism, the real motive is that they are critical of conservative political positions. Often these same liberal ministers are very involved supporting the political left. So I wouldn't pay too much attention to Harris's complaint, except for the fact that I've heard the same assessment coming from some on the political right, that evangelical support for Donald Trump is damaging the gospel. Harris's statement is just a reminder that there is this opinion out there that needs to be answered biblically. And that opinion can be summed up as Christians need to keep quiet about Trump, politics, the culture war, because it offends people. And the only job for Christians is to preach the gospel. For example, the Apostle Paul was not making comments about Nero versus the Roman Senate. Paul never wrote about Rome's negotiations with Iran or the Roman army putting down the rebellion in Britain, the annexing of Crimea, Nero's elaborate building projects, the plots to overthrow Nero, Nero's homosexual partners, the burning of Rome. You probably didn't know that all that was going on during the Apostle Paul's life, because in the Bible, Paul never made a single reference to those historical events happening in the political atmosphere of Rome during the days of Paul. Now, I'm not saying that this means Christians should not be addressing the policies of civil government. I just want you to see how the anti-political involvement religious crowd makes their case. And at the very least, we do see in the Bible that since the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom comes first, our political involvement must be secondary. And certainly we must be wise as serpents and as harmless as doves in how we use the political landscape to bring people's attention to the gospel. The truth about Christian involvement in politics is probably somewhere in the middle, where there are two erroneous extremes. Those who are all about political involvement versus those who believe in no political involvement. Biblically, the true Christian practice is somewhere in the middle, and it just takes discernment to know where that middle ground is. I mean, sometimes given the crisis of the hour, we need to speak up more than at other times. When a Nazi death camp is incinerating people down the road from us, it's probably time for Christians to provide some serious political leadership. Now, notice, I'm not just limiting today's discussion to the support for Trump, but broadening this out to objections to evangelical involvement in politics in general. Because whenever it comes to human government, there is never a perfect king. If you support any king or magistrate, you're going to get your hands dirty at some point. But does that mean we should never lend our help or support to any magistrate because we fear being tainted by their faults? I don't think so. Otherwise, not a single godly man in Israel would have supported King David over King Saul. Every citizen in Israel had to make a stand in regard to King David. And this reflected their fidelity to God. And usually, many of the same people who argue against evangelical support for Trump also express the same reservations about Christians being involved in politics or in the culture war. The same fear of offending people by being associated with Donald Trump also includes a fear of offending people by saying something about politics or the culture war. So again, the question I want to consider is this. Whether Christians need to keep quiet about Trump politics and the culture war because it offends people, and whether Christians should only be preaching the gospel. So what do you think? You might actually have a strong opinion on this issue. But let's all begin by putting aside our feelings and our opinions and instead ask, what does the Bible teach? Do we have a chapter and verse? Our feelings, our opinions should be absolutely meaningless. It should make no difference at all to us if we get an icky feeling in our stomach when Christians are or are not involved in politics or the culture war. We're not to live by our feelings. We're to live by the Word of God. In fact, you know that if you do live by the Word of God, there is going to be stress. People are going to hate you. So don't make your criteria your feelings or the opinions of others. Luke 6:26, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. If the Bible says we ought to be politically involved and stand behind kings who are promoting righteousness in the land, then we shouldn't really care how many people we offend. Jesus said he came not to bring peace, but the sword. And if the Bible says we are to keep quiet about the institution of government, then we shouldn't care how many people call us cowards or lazy for keeping quiet about politics. The point is, what does God command of us, regardless of utilitarian considerations? Too many religious people and immature Christians judge what they ought to do by utilitarianism. What they think will win the culture, what they think will win friends and influence people. When our attitude should be, I don't care if supporting a presidential candidate or being politically involved empties out every single church in America, making us odious to the Egyptians. If God says that is what we should do, then we should do it. In fact, maybe evangelical churches need to be emptied out, and maybe this is a necessary test from God. Remember, the Pharisees said if anyone confesses Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be thrown out of the synagogues. John 9. Does this mean people shouldn't confess Christ in order to keep up synagogue attendance? Of course not. You know, a few years ago, I had out on my church sign, something about following your God-given biological gender. And some LGBTQ supporter called me up complaining. But what I really found interesting was the reason she gave me why I shouldn't put that statement on our church sign. She said that I'm not going to get lots of people attending the church with that kind of sign. And I think I surprised her when I said I'm not the least bit interested in getting lots of people to attend my church. My goal is not to fill a pew. My goal is to preach the truth, and those who are of the truth will come to the truth. But this woman was thinking like most people think, that ethics and values are to be based upon man-centered utilitarianism. And that's probably why she was an LGBT supporter in the first place. Because she was determining her values, not by the higher laws of God, but by what she likes and what other people like. I heard it once said this way. Too many professing Christians listen to Dr. Phil LePew rather than the Word of God. Did you get that? Fill the pew, fill the seats, doing ministry by pragmatism rather than by biblical directives. So to begin with, it shouldn't matter to us in the least if evangelical support for Donald Trump is incredibly damaging to the gospel in the minds of some people. Remember, we need to expect to be the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, 1 Corinthians 4:13. Too much cowering from Christian activism and the culture war flows not out of sound exegesis of Scripture, but flows out of a fear of conflict, fear of being ostracized, of being a people pleaser rather than a God pleaser. And there are plenty of people pleasers in this world, so much so, it's one of the main reasons why so many people don't receive Christ. John chapter 12, nevertheless, many of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they weren't confessing him, for fear they would be put out of the synagogues, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. So all that's to say, the answer to my original question should not be based upon our feelings, or how many people like us. In the words of Dennis Prager, you will never be a leader if you want people to love you. So we have two issues going on here. I think we need to make a clear distinction. First, those who think politics damage the gospel because they have a fear of man or they judge right and wrong on the basis of utilitarianism. Second, those who think political involvement damages the gospel on the basis of some biblical interpretation. That concludes Christians need to be politically neutral. I haven't even gotten to that category, and I may not be able to on this program. But first, let me give an example of this whole question of Christian political involvement by referencing a situation outside the United States. Sometimes we can see our situation more clearly by stepping outside our own circumstances and all of the emotional baggage in it. There's a major conflict happening in the Christian community in Hong Kong. There's a divide between yellow ribbon Christians and blue ribbon Christians. Hong Kong was once a British colony, but in 1984, the UK signed Hong Kong over to the Chinese Communist government. Starting in 1997, Hong Kong would be part of China. And for 50 years, from 1997, Hong Kong would operate its own administrative region, which meant free enterprise, capitalism, no communism. Well, last year, China began extraditing criminals out of Hong Kong to be tried in China, which meant anti-communist political activists in Hong Kong could be rounded up by the Chai Coms. So pro-democracy riots broke out in Hong Kong, opposing this policy, opposing the police and the pro-communist politicians in Hong Kong. Churches and Christians that support the demonstrators are yellow ribbon wearers. Churches and Christians that support the government are blue ribbon wearers. One Hong Kong pastor said, quote, "I face quite a bit of pressure because the yellow ribbons and the blue ribbons both have a lot of expectations of me." They want me to be on their side. This pastor fears that by speaking out against the government, the church could face difficulties in purchasing land should the school decide to expand, or maybe even face cuts in government subsidies. Now, on the other side, one Christian said, her own church doesn't talk about the social issues surrounding the current protests. I feel lonely because so many brothers and sisters in Christ don't have the courage to speak out. And many churches in Hong Kong have mixed congregations with blue ribbon and yellow ribbon Christians, and the pastors don't know what to do. This is all covered in a recent article in World Magazine entitled Houses Divided. You may want to check that out. But let me just give you my take. These Christians in Hong Kong need to be politically active, but in the right way and with the right theology. There's nothing wrong with the church in Hong Kong that teaching through John Calvin's doctrine of civil government couldn't fix. Not that John Calvin is so great, but he weaves together all of the scriptural passages dealing with these issues. And one point he makes that freedom-loving Christians often overlook is that God often ordains totalitarian government to punish the people and to keep them in line. Even John Adams said about our own Constitution, it was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other. So don't assume democracy is for every country and every time. Christians are to promote democracy, mostly by changing the grassroots morals of the people. Then democracy will flow naturally. But our mission is not public protest. Our mission is to teach what God has to say about the role of government, holding seminars, printing pamphlets, TV programs, community education, educating the politicians, and then to accept God's will regarding the form of government that arises. The scriptures demand obedience to just and unjust governors. And we're to bear up patiently under unprincipled rulers. It's by our evangelism and discipleship we eventually win the culture. That's the way we drain the swamp. Now, this doesn't mean no political involvement on the part of Christians. It just means biblical political involvement, not protests, but the propagation of truth. Now, let's get back to our situation here in America. MAGA hats versus non-MAGA hat Christians. In Hong Kong, it's about ribbons. Here, the symbol is a hat. The MAGA hat Christians might be saying, those non-MAGA hat Christians need to realize we are in a war against leftist lawlessness. Government is God's institution. The church is called to reprove, rebuke, and exhort government. Trump might not be perfect, but he's supporting the conservative right. And the gospel is not only about Jesus. The gospel has a moral message, faith and repentance. To be saved, one must learn about and repent of the evils of infanticide and immorality. Revival can be both individual and corporate. All of the Old Testament prophets confronted the kings and the culture about moral issues. Although we don't preach salvation by law, we are called to continually teach the culture God's standards of righteousness. Have you ever noticed that most people don't mind or are not offended by a belief in God or even Jesus? Close to 90% of Americans are theistic. They believe in God. All the offense comes from what you believe this God demands of you morally. A communist Jesus, a pro-abortion Jesus, and LGBTQ Jesus is fine with the world. But as soon as you have a Jesus who embodies and requires a certain moral standard for the institution of the church, for the institution of the family, for the institution of government, that offends the world. Jesus can be king as long as he doesn't demand anything. But is the communist Jesus, the pro-abortion Jesus, the LGBTQ Jesus really Jesus at all? And if you abandon the true Jesus, do you even have the gospel? Maybe evangelical support for Donald Trump is incredibly damaging to the gospel for those who have a very minimalistic and faulty view of the gospel. Now, let's consider what might be the contention of the non-MAGA hat Christians. for true evangelical Christians I've spoken with, it's not the political positions of the president that they are against, but the president's rude, crude, and socially unacceptable behavior. He turns off his opponents rather than winning his opponents. Is that the real issue? Well, if someone like Mike Pence was the president, then we could easily separate out whether the offense is Donald Trump's personal character and persona or the conservative values. But as it stands right now, we have this confusing mix. I think we can appreciate that concern. One of the major themes of 1 Peter is that our witness needs to be squeaky clean. 1 Peter 2:12, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in day of visitation. Verse 15, by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. And Paul's words to Titus, Titus chapter 2, verse 8, sound speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. So if biblical moral positions are attached to name-calling, mockery, a huge ego, that could be a problem. And even though Trump is not a racist, his opponents take everything he says and does and put a racist spin on it. So here's the problem some evangelicals are faced with. I don't know if you've ever come across people who have said, they're afraid people are saying, I'm not going to visit your church because you evangelicals are a bunch of Trump supporters. Now, most of the time, it's because they hate Christian moral values, but I have actually run into some who have just been convinced by CNN and MSNBC that Trump is the next Hitler. So it's not even the real man that's the offense. The offense is a straw man caricature. And remember, 50% of the American voting public voted for Trump's opponent, Hillary Clinton. So maybe we need to be politically neutral if we're to have an open door with that 50%. 1 Corinthians 9:22, I become all things to all men so that I might by all means save some. 1 Corinthians 10:32, give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Well, I'm running out of time. But the biblical answer is to support and honor the president as he advances righteous policy, to be politically active, but also to be wise and discreet when dealing with low information voters. Concentrate first on the message of personal faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. Politics is not the avenue to reach everyone. A person's politics change after the soul is changed. I have a man in my church who says that the day he was saved is the day he went from being pro-abortion to pro-life. Spirit of God changes a person's worldview. Despite all of these claims that evangelical support for Donald Trump is damaging the gospel, most evangelicals are smart cookies. They know how to vote and support righteous government, and at the same time keep the message on the gospel, and avoid becoming needlessly offensive to those who have political bias and prejudice. This is a broad subject. I haven't even scratched on the surface. But you've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thank you for including God and Country as part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we again ask you for wisdom in this great task of evangelism. Help us to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that you commanded. And thank you for the promise that you will be with us until the end of the age. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.